In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. She's been given a rare A-plus for accuracy by the premier polling site 538. We welcome back to our program this half hour Des Moines public opinion researcher Jay Ann Selzer to talk about her latest polls on politics and other issues. Ann Selzer, welcome back to the program.
It's nice to be here, Ben. Thank you.
We want to talk about your new Iowa poll, which Iowans have been enjoying in installments over the past week. The latest today, I want to reach out to our listeners to join our conversation with your questions for Jay Ann Selzer this half hour, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. The poll conducted, according to your information, June 13th through the 16th, just a couple of weeks ago, for the Des Moines Register and Mediacom by your company, Selzer & Company of Des Moines, based on telephone interviews with 807 Iowans ages 18 or older. I wanted to get to the politics in just a moment, but first, because it's the front page of the Des Moines Register today, the newly released Iowa poll takes a look at Iowans' attitudes towards a law on teaching in the state. If I could have your comment on that, the law, first of all, goes into effect in just a few days, July 1st, bans the teaching of several concepts during mandatory diversity and inclusion trainings offered to state or local government employees, also bans the teaching of the concepts as part of classroom curriculum. Iowa, among several states that have passed these new laws, aim to restrict similar concepts from appearing in school curriculum. And we have in all of this, of course, the national debate over how to teach about racism, systemic racism, how it should be conducted. And can you tell us what you asked concerning this on the attitudes of Iowans and what you found out?
Right. Well, we asked a host of questions about recently enacted laws to get Iowans' view of what the legislature had just accomplished. For this one, our language was we asked if they favor or opposed a new law that bans teaching of certain concepts, including the U.S. or state of Iowa, the U.S. or state of Iowa is fundamentally or systemically racist or sexist. Sorry about that. Jumping over those words. I'm not a trained interviewer. 56% of Iowans said they opposed that, and that might seem like a modest majority, but it was only 34% who said that they favored it. That's a 22-point difference between the proportion of Iowans opposing, that was the majority, and the proportion of Iowans favoring.
Mm-hmm. And when we break that down into political parties, what do we see?
Well, that's, hang on, and I'll pull that up here.
Okay.
That'll take me just a second.
Well, I've got it here, too. I can share it while you're pulling it up. Republicans, yeah, in your poll mostly favor it, this new law on teaching, 57% showing support, Democrats by 76% and independents by 58% opposing it. And you looked at evangelicals as well, didn't you?
We did. And the evangelicals were divided in terms of that. So that was almost even numbers saying they favored or saying they opposed. You know, we also looked at whether the people we were interviewing had children in their household who would be of school age under age 18. 54% of that group, it's almost exactly the overall average, opposed to 36% favoring.
Mm-hmm. So what does that tell you when Iowa Republicans, headed by the governor, enact a law that has these kinds of poll results?
Well, it actually is rather common in this poll to see it happen that way. that there is a division in terms of what Iowans are thinking if you look at them overall and what the legislature has done. There, we had a few others that maybe we'll get to where there was that kind of division. And really what it comes down to, Ben, is when you look at this overall number, you almost have to unpack it to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And what we're seeing commonly is that Republicans are favoring these changes that were recently enacted, and Democrats are opposing, and the independents, they're sort of the swing. But they end up looking like the overall numbers pretty much overall.
Right, with 58% opposing it in this case, which is interesting. Let's get to some of those other results. So many here, and we have little time to talk about it, but let's survey them. One of the most interesting results, I'm sure you agree, is your poll showing a drop in support for Senator Grassley. This is our 87-year-old senator, yet to declare whether he will run for re-election in 2022. And your poll showing almost two-thirds of likely Iowa voters say it's time for someone other than Chuck Grassley to serve in the U.S. Senate. Comment on this and give us some details on this polling.
So if you take this question just by itself, you might think, well, is that fair? I mean, he served for many, many terms. He's the longest serving in the Senate right now. So for someone to say it's time for someone else, well, what does that really mean? So I think if you combine it with his job approval rating, that really begins to tell an important story for Chuck Grassley. And that is that he was below 50% in terms of the proportion of Iowans saying they approve of the job he's doing as senator. It was 45%. And that is among his lowest scores since he took office. You know, we're the Iowa poll, and we've been around since 1943, and Chuck Grassley had not taken office at that point, but he did take office in 1981, and we have approval ratings over time since that time. And for many years, his approval ratings, we would cast as stratospheric, that there were 60%, 70%, mm-hmm. 75% of Iowans, at one point 80%. Of Iowans saying they approved of the job he was doing. And if you just look over even the last decade or so, those numbers have rather gradually declined so that Chuck Grassley no longer in the 70% range. For a while, he was in the 60% range. Oh, then for a while, over 50%. So that drop down to 45%, when you add that to 2 out of 3 Iowans saying it's time for someone else, it's not a supportive poll for Senator Grassley.
Right, and I don't know if your polling data goes this far or if you care to offer any thoughts on, of course, the why we would see this trend downwards over years. Senator Grassley, in his 7th term, if he would go for another, it would be his 8th term mm-hmm. in 2022. Does your poll cover any of the whys of this trend that you can see?
Well, we don't know what the numbers are going to be when we're crafting the questionnaire.
Yeah.
So it would be something that we might want to take a look at. But we did break out his approval rating several different ways to say, well, how about how he's doing with the COVID pandemic?
Mm-hmm.
How about how he's doing with infrastructure, with immigration, with criminal justice, the economy, and voting laws? And in none of those cases does he break the 50% mark. His lowest mark is for immigration, where just 36% of Iowans say they approve, and more, 42%, say they disapprove. So I would read that and say, kind of across the board, they're less impressed than they perhaps have been in the past, just overall.
Mm-hmm. If you've just joined us, my guest this hour, pollster, renowned public opinion researcher J. Ann Selzer, president of the Des Moines-based polling firm Selzer and Company. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. She's with us until 1:30 the hour. Shortly before that time, let's move on to our head of state, Governor Reynolds. Her job approval numbers ticking up this summer as the COVID-19 vaccines become widely available. Of course, she's had to manage our state's response to the pandemic, but also manage the vaccination campaign. What did you look at here, and what did you find, Anne?
Yeah, a couple of things. We were last in the field in March earlier this year when when she dipped below the 50% mark. Again, a 50% approval rating, that's what, if you're an elected official, you want to hit at least that. And she was at 46% in March. So we were looking to see how that might have shifted. And indeed, she ticked up 5 points. So her job approval as governor is now 51%. And just like with Senator Grassley, we broke that out a bit. And she gets an even higher mark of 54% in terms of how she's handled the COVID pandemic. Also, 55%, her highest mark, for how she's handled the economy. So that gives a little bit of substance to what might have been shaping her approval rating and the upward trend there.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if you can interpret this as a pollster as confirming that Governor Reynolds, at least in the minds of most Iowans, took a right course, in agreement with most Iowans through the pandemic. Is that a conclusion we can draw or not?
Well, you know, it's very hard to pin that exactly, but I think you can look back to where the mood of the state was in March, with just 46% saying things were headed in the right direction. That's improved to 50%. And as people think about the state, so they think about the leader of the state. So her numbers really reflect an upswing in how people are starting to think now that the vaccinations are more widespread, more of a feeling of normalcy kind of setting in. I think her numbers reflect that too.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Reynolds widely expected to seek re-election in 2022. A good signal for her, not necessarily a good signal for any Democrat thinking they would hope to unseat her. let's go on to perhaps less significant, only because of this point in time. Senator Ernst was re-elected in 2020. She won't need to decide whether she seeks re-election until 2026, but you polled her approval rating, and what did you find there?
Right. So she had had her worst poll since the very beginning of her term, back in February of 2015, when more than one out of four Iowans couldn't tell you how she was doing on her job. So she got a low approval mark there, but only because of people not knowing her. In March, her approval number was 43%. So that has moved up to 46%. It's not a great number, but it's an okay number and the movement in the direction she would wish for.
Mm-hmm. Let's move into polling of Iowans about our current president. We can still call him a new president, I guess we can. It is still 2021. He was inaugurated, of course, in January of this year. The majority of Iowans disapprove of the job President Biden is doing as president. Pick that apart for us with your polling data.
Right. It's a very interesting finding in the context of other things in the poll. So when we first measured him in March, more people said they approved, 47 to 44. Now, more people disapprove at 52 versus 43. And again, we unpacked that a bit. He gets a good rating of 53% approval for how he's handled COVID, but he gets an exceptionally high disapproval number for how he's handled immigration, 63% of Iowans disapproving of that. So there have been some bumps in the road as his administration has gotten started, and Iowans recognize that and are weighing in.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the former president. You polled about former President Donald Trump. Of course, this is important because he is not declaring himself gone from the political scene in any way. We'll look at how his support or lack of support for candidates influences the 2022 primaries in his party, those races, and of course, 2024. Much speculation about former President Trump running again to occupy the White House. What did you want to find out here?
Right. And this is where it's really fun to be the pollster, because the top line of these data, when you look at his favorability rating, that is, do you feel favorable or unfavorable, it's a dead tie at 49%. 49%. That's as close as you can get to 50-50 that's there. But we ask it actually in a deeper way. Do you feel very favorable, mostly unfavorable, or very unfavorable? And those two extreme points are that the contrast is interesting. So it's 29% who say they feel very favorable, and it's more than overbalanced by 40% saying they feel very unfavorable. So he's the example of a polarizing figure, and you can really see it in these data.
Right. And I don't know if when you compare that, when I looked at that on sort of a line, you know, it's sort of like a barbell with these weights on each side on the extremes. He is so unconventional in so many ways. When you look at the polling in these terms, is he just in a different league compared to other politicians you've looked at through the years? This is much like Trump. Is he just breaking norms here in terms of polling data?
Well, within this very poll, you can see kind of almost a similar trend. Joe Biden draws just 21% saying that they feel very favorable. So that's a lower number than for former President Trump, and 37% saying they feel very unfavorable, and that's not that far off from President Trump. So we've seen it before. Hillary Clinton in particular was a very polarizing figure that if you didn't like her, you really didn't like her. So it's not that uncommon, really, to see this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's look at some of the other polling you did there. We have about 5 minutes left. You pick where we go next, Ann, because we have limited time. What is still on your list that you'd like to talk about?
Great. Well, two things. We talked about the banning on certain kinds of teaching and a majority of Iowans being against that. We also asked about allowing charter schools to form without the approval of the local school board. 55% of Iowans were opposed to that, just 33% in favor. So when it came to education, both of the items we tested drew more opposition than they did support. Another very interesting pair of questions was about guns. And we asked about the Iowa legislature taking the first step to amend the Iowa Constitution to add a right to keep and bear arms, with the idea that would result in fewer restrictions on guns. Oh, a bare majority, 51% of Iowans said they favored that, compared to 43% who opposed. But when we asked about the new law that allows adults to purchase and carry handguns without a permit, 67% said they were opposed to that. So by a more than 2-to-1 margin, there was more opposition to that than support for that. So the idea of fewer restrictions on the right to keep and bear arms, more Iowans are in favor. But when it came to this very specifically, it appears for 2 out of 3 Iowans that crossed a line that they didn't think was a good idea.
Yeah, and interestingly, I have a recollection in the last few days that Texas had some similar polling, and I was surprised because, you know, it is Texas, and we associate Texas with guns, certainly, that they had similar polling, that their populace did not back these carrying guns without permits. So that's very interesting. When we have a break and come back, we're going to be talking about something that you have also polled on, Iowans' support or lack thereof for name, image, likeness compensation for college athletes. What did you find out there?
Well, we found 54% of Iowans saying that student athletes should be able to be allowed to profit from the use of their name, likeness, or image. And we had polled that before, about a year ago in some months, and only 50%. So that's something that appears, with just 2 data points, to be marching upward.
Mm, Okay. We have a couple minutes left. I'd like to ask you a little bit, some insights into, well, your craft there, your expertise, specifically the crafting of questions, because that can make an enormous difference and give very different results. And you must ponder the formulation of questions just for hours before you decide, I can only imagine, or do you?
Oh, indeed we do. And this is done, there is an Iowa poll committee internal to the Des Moines Register. And the first part of the polling process is, once we figured out where it goes on the calendar, is to put all of our heads together. So this is reporters and editors and myself and my staff convene to talk about, well, what do we most want to know? What's important right now? And once we have topics, and sometimes even throwing out potential question wording at that point, then I go off and go to a hermetically sealed location and start pounding out the language. But there's so many things that you have to take account. First, you want to be sure that you're asking the question in a way that delivers what you think you're asking. So there's that element of it. It needs to be phrased in a way that the interviewer has an easy time with it. You heard me stumble earlier, but we're thinking about the interviewer being able to hear it and say it. We're also thinking about the respondent. Can we say this in a way that they can easily answer with their existing opinion? So there's lots that go into the mix that my draft is reviewed, but there isn't any part of this that gets more attention than the question wording. How is this going to work for everybody, including how are the reporters going to write about it? Mm-hmm. There are times when a question that might seem perfectly good comes back and say, this will be too difficult for the reporter to write about. It's just gotten too much in it to unpack in a way that readers will find enjoyable to read.
Right. And then, of course, there's plenty of polls out there where you read the question, at least I do, and I'm sure you do, Anne, and you say, well, of course, we know what they want as a result by the way they worded the question. That is a one-partisan poll out there, but people don't necessarily identify it as a partisan poll, thus the effect of it. Anyway, we've run out of time. So good to touch bases with you. J. Anne Selzer with us this half hour. We appreciate you coming on the program again, Anne.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
J. Anne Selzer, pollster and president of the Des Moines-based polling firm Selzer and Company, which she founded in 1994. When we come back, three Iowa sports reporters on the recent landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling against the NCAA, what it means for collegiate athlete compensation, and how it may dramatically change college sports. When we come back, I'm Ben Kiefer. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.
Iowa is known far and wide for corn and soybeans, but those of us who live here know that Iowa is so much more. I'm Charity Nebbe. From agriculture to high culture, each day on Talk of Iowa, I talk to farmers, artists, authors, musicians, scientists, athletes, and others who make Iowa what it is. Talk of Iowa, weekday mornings at 10 on Iowa Public Radio.